Thank you, Sean, Elizabeth. That was great. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Earl being away and all, he asked me to preach this morning, and he assigned to me the scripture Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. I'm going to read 13 through 20, chapter 3 of Proverbs. The title the assigned was, Blessed Are Those Who Find Wisdom. And so that's what we're going to attempt to talk about today. Let's go ahead and start with reading the passage, Proverbs 3, 13 through 20. It starts right out and it says, How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we can be here around your word. And I pray that you might give us insight into that word, and that we could gain wisdom from you this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we had a little bad weather earlier in the week on Monday. A little bit of snow, a little bit of sleet, a little bit of ice. And I got involved in something I think, looking back on, may be a little test of wisdom for me. Let me talk about it in a minute. Well, I didn't go to work on Monday because of the weather, but Tuesday started out pretty good. Sun come out, dried things out a little bit, at least the main road. So I thought, well, I got this little job to do. I need to go out and install a door, a back exterior door, at the King's house. And so Diane and I started off. Roads are great. We get out there, we turn to the driveway, and their driveway has a pretty good slope to it. This is Tuesday afternoon. And it has a pretty good slope to it. It's maybe 60 yards long. Half of it, the slope part, is paved. It's actually concrete, but it's actually a little rough and all. But as I pulled up to their driveway, we sat at the top of the hill and we gazed down that slope. And I could see where it looked like there was probably a half inch of wintry mix still stuck to the drive. And as we sit there at the top, I asked Diane, I said, if we slide, should I aim at the trees on your side or my side? Because I didn't want to go into the house. I mean, that wouldn't have been good. Slide right in there. Her immediate response is, my side. Now I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. My wife would take the beating, you know, for me. So that was kind of humorous. But what happened next, I think, was the test of wisdom. And as I look back on it, what happened next, I told Diane, I said, need to write down a couple things that I've learned about wisdom. First thing is, impatience is an enemy of wisdom. Okay, so if you're writing this down, I'll say it again. Impatience is an enemy of wisdom. All right? And another thing I learned and realized in that experience is, wisdom can be applied to every situation. All right? Wisdom can be applied to every situation. Okay, when we think about wisdom, though, what is it? What is wisdom? I like what the Psychology Today, I looked at a number of different definitions for wisdom. I like what was written in Psychology Today in their attempt to define wisdom, and part of it said, it can be difficult to define wisdom, but people generally recognize it when they encounter it. And that's pretty good. That's true. Wikipedia says, again, at the end of a lengthy description, in short, it says, wisdom is a disposition to find the truth coupled with an optimum judgment as to what action should be taken in order to deliver the correct outcome. Okay, did you get that? I'm not going to repeat it. You got to ponder that. In fact, it's almost like, from that definition, I need to have wisdom first in order to get wisdom. Which, maybe that's not so far off, because Proverbs, the 4th chapter, 7th verse, says that the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. I thought, well, that's odd. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. You know, you think about that, and I think what it's getting at is, if you want wisdom, if you're the beginning of wisdom, you got to have a desire for it. You need to go out after, acquire wisdom. Wisdom, we can see and probably recall a number of people, maybe, examples around us where it seems like age and experience and learning and understanding don't seem to sink in. But the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Well, again, Psychology Today goes on and says, experts agree it involves an integration of knowledge, experience, and deep understanding. Here's another one. Wisdom, the knowledge and ability to make wise choices at opportune times. And another. Wisdom represents a demonstrated superior ability to understand the nature and behavior of things, people, or events. All right. I don't know if when Earl assigned this topic, how hard it was just to figure out what is wisdom. I like this definition of wisdom. Seeing things, people, events from God's perspective. Seeing things as God sees them is essentially what I think wisdom boils down to. The Bible says there are two kinds of wisdom. If we turn to James 3, James 3, verse 13, following, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed, whose fruit is righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. So James identifies for us two kinds of wisdom. There are two kinds. One is typified by jealousy and selfish ambition and arrogance. And that kind of a wisdom, that its origin is earthly, natural, and demonic, he says. Then on the other hand, the godly wisdom is pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. It's from above. It's godly. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 21, in that section he talks about the world thinks God's wisdom is foolishness. And God says that he will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. And so we got these two kinds of wisdom, two different origins that are clashing. Proverbs 9, also, as we think about there being two kinds of wisdom, puts it in a... Proverbs are very poetic. They're wisdom literature, but so much of it is in poetry form, very creative, very interesting, just from a literary standpoint. But what it says in chapter 9 is, wisdom has built her house, she has hewn out her seven pillars, she has prepared her food, she has mixed her wine, she has set her table, she has sent out her maidens, she calls from the tops of the heights of the city, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly, and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. And then if we jump to 13, Solomon gives us the other side. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So again, we've got this picture of the two opposing wisdoms, and both crying out the same thing. Turn in here. You think you're naive. You don't know. You need to learn some things. Turn in here. But of course, the end is radically different. We get to choose what to follow. In order for us to do that, I think, let's look at some examples of wisdom. And the examples I chose, I think, are the top three of wisdom. First one, Solomon, 1 Kings, 3rd chapter. 1 Kings 3. Remember, Solomon, the son of David, was made king over the nation of Israel. And one day he goes to where the worship of God in Gibeon was at, to make sacrifices. Probably that's where the tabernacle was in that day. So the king goes up there, he offers 1,000 sacrifices. And God comes out and asks him a question. God, in verse 5 of chapter 3, 1 Kings, says, ask what you wish me to give you. And Solomon's response, he says, you know, you've been with my father, David. You've been with this people. I'm king, and I need to be a good king. In verse 8, he says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine? We can go on in God's response to that request. And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing, have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Solomon was given wisdom as a gift from God. And then, if you keep reading in chapter 3, there's an example of that being worked out. There's these two ladies who come before Solomon. They both had sons, young sons, babies, and one had died. And they were both claiming the one who was living. They came before Solomon. Tell her to give me my son. This isn't your son. This is my son. And we pick up the story in 23. The king said, the one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is dead, the dead one. And the other says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. And the king said, get me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. The king said, divide the living child in two, give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman, whose child was a living one, spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son and said, O my lord, give her the living child. By no means kill him. The other said, he shall be neither yours or mine, divide him. Solomon says, answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And so he executed proper judgment. What he really did was recognize something that God already knew. Who's the mother of this child? And he used a very creative test to determine whose child this was. Solomon had to understand a little bit about human nature, and particularly the nature of a mother toward a child, which tends to be, kill me, let the child live. I mean, they are very self-sacrificing, mothers are. And he used that to determine the truth. Solomon used wisdom. I don't think he ever intended to kill that little boy. What he intended to do was find out who the mother is and to render just judgment. Another way that Solomon displayed wisdom is most of the Proverbs, those little pithy sayings of truth, were written by Solomon. He demonstrated his wisdom by how he communicated, how he wrote, how he spoke. They reveal the depth of his knowledge and understanding, wisdom. The second example I wanted to bring up was Jesus when he lived on earth. Jesus, in the way he lived, his knowledge of human nature, how things work, his knowledge of the Heavenly Father, I think, again, I actually think he surpassed Solomon. One of the ways Jesus displayed his wisdom was through the powerful works that he performed, and by the things he didn't do, the things he could have done, but the things he didn't do with the great power that he had. We can see the wisdom of Jesus by his teaching, his understanding of nature, the use of parables, analogies, storytelling, how he walked with people, how he spent his time, how he treated people as individuals, and also as he treated people as in groups. When to talk, when to be silent, his sense of priorities, how he applied the right scripture to the situation, the questions he asked, I think all are proof and examples to us of great wisdom. The final example, I think the God of the Bible, the God of creation, is an example to us of wisdom, someone who's wise. You know, sorry, to wake you up there. I don't know what I did, but I hope I don't do it again. Lord? What an understatement to say the God of creation was wise. Chuck, we learned about that. An understatement. There is no way. There's no way to express how wise the God of the Bible is. So, if we take those definitions I gave in the beginning, based on the integration of knowledge, experience, and deep understanding, having the knowledge and the ability to make wise choices at opportune time, having the truth coupled with an optimum judgment as to what actions should be taken in order to deliver the correct outcome, having a superior ability to understand the nature and behavior of things, people, or events. In other words, seeing things as he sees them, the Lord, Jehovah, founded the earth and established the heavens. That's just what our psalm said, the 19th and 20th verses. You know, think a minute about the wisdom required to create what's here. I mean, so now we've discovered subquarks and quarks and electrons and neutrons and protons and how theoretically they work within an atom. And the great power that's contained in an atom. And yet, it's a building block. You combine these little building blocks. The whole thing's unfathomable. The combination of these building blocks into elements and molecules of which everything that we see is made. And they have wide-ranging abilities and characteristics. To be able to understand the effects of heat and light and sound, just even the nature of water, we can be grateful God knew ahead of time how water would perform under heat and cooling. The opposite of what almost everything else does. You heat something normally and expands. And there's this expansion and contraction that takes place. With water, it expands. And it floats when it gets cold. See, I don't even know what I'm talking about. When it gets cold, it doesn't shrink, it expands. That allows it to float as opposed to sinking to the bottom of the lake and continuing to freeze and sink to the bottom, and pretty soon you don't have any lake anymore. You lose the liquid state of water if it did not expand when it cools. Again, just the opposite of other things. to be able to understand the electromagnetic field, or how about the light and color spectrum, of which we only are able to see visually just a very small part of that light and color spectrum. To understand waves of energy, to understand gravity. You know, each one of these things man has spent years examining and studying, we still don't know. We still don't understand. The complex nature of systems that result from the combination of genes in the DNA, double helix. If you know more about some of these things than I do, which I expect, please ignore the mistakes I'm making. My point is, we're dealing with a God who understood, who knew completely these systems and actually planned ahead of time and put them into existence. What if we were to take just the human body? All that's involved in designing and building a human body. It has a cardiovascular system. It has a skeletal system. It has a respiratory system. It has an immune system. It has a reproductive system. It has a gastrointestinal elimination kind of system. And all of those systems work as a system. But again, that's a physical world. It was God's idea, and it was His plan. It was His invention. It was His design to come up with things like attitudes and imagination and justice and pleasure and truth and design and freedom and responsibility and beauty and love and trust. These are God's ideas. These are God's plans. We haven't even scratched the surface of God's knowledge and understanding. The complexity of what's here. And we haven't even begun to talk about the spiritual world that the scriptures tell us exists that we can't see. You know, another aspect of wisdom that I come to is wisdom is also knowing the end at the beginning of something. God understands all the possibilities and the limits of these systems. God understands all the possibilities if something goes wrong. There is nothing outside His knowledge and understanding and ability to deal with His creation. What are some of the benefits of having wisdom? Just reading through just first few chapters of Proverbs. You're able to discern the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God. Wisdom delivers from the ways of evil men. Wisdom delivers from the arms of the adulteress. Wisdom preserves one's life and character. Wisdom gives long life. Wisdom gives pleasant, peaceful, and happy ways. Wisdom gives life to your soul, adornment to your neck. If you have wisdom, you'll walk securely and not stumble. You'll not be afraid. You'll have sweet sleep. The wise will inherit honor. She will guard you, watch over you. She will exalt you, honor you. Place on your head a garland of grace, present you with a crown of beauty. Those are only first four chapters of Proverbs, and I don't even get all of them. Chapter 8 says, riches and honor, enduring wealth and righteousness come from wisdom. Also in 8, those who have wisdom find life and obtain favor with the Lord. And also in 8, the next verse, 36, says the opposite. Those who don't have wisdom, those who are content to be foolish, injure themselves and love death. A great result of having wisdom, I think, is creativity. Wisdom, the origin of wisdom is God. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. Proverbs 2. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So how do we get wisdom? In a blog that my son Benjamin wrote, and commenting on chapter 2 of Proverbs, he says, we see we can get wisdom in different ways, but ultimately true wisdom comes from God. And he goes on to say, to identify two ways to get wisdom. One, he says, is a passive way, as in quiet receiving. And then there's an active way, as in desperate searching. This quiet receiving is like taking counsel, listening, either to written word or people, that sort of thing. Or this desperate searching, seeking for answers. In James 1:5, James gives us how do we get wisdom? I want to read it. For if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. What a promise. You ask him. Well, he gives it generously. There's no conditions in this verse, by the way, right? All men. And I assume we recognize that's a term that means men and women. All humanity. All mankind. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously, without reproach. In other words, and he's not sitting there going, oh, you dummy. Ah, man, why do I have to do this? Again. No. No kind of attitude like that. Generously. Without reproach. Willingly, gladly. If we desire wisdom, we seek it, we ask him. The promise is it'll be given to us. Wouldn't you just love to have some of this wisdom? I sure would. Oh, by the way, the end of the story. What happened? What happened? What was the next thing to happen when we sit there at the top of that driveway, look down that thing, appear to be covered with about a half inch of wintry mix, in which I realized later, impatience is an enemy to wisdom, and I realized that wisdom can be applied to every situation. And there was something else I learned too. But, well, I got out. I got in the back of the Suburban. I got a shovel. I shoveled the driveway, calmly drove down the hill, did the work. Everything was great. Because last year, I didn't do that on another driveway. I slid into the ditch. And it took me half a day to get out. And I was lucky I didn't go the other side of the drive, because that was a drop-off. My little test of wisdom here. Something else, the third thing I learned from that realized with wisdom, you don't always have to learn the hard way. How blessed is the one who finds wisdom? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you realizing how little we know and how much we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your comforting. We need your guidance. We just need you. I pray, Lord, that as we go on in our lives, we might seek you. We might seek your wisdom. We might seek your good gifts and promises that you've made to us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.